Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
All right, parents, it's back to school time, and I've got a secret for you. There's a drama-free way to make vitamins part of your kids' morning routine. Little Critters Gummy Vitamins. You see, my kids think they're just eating fun, delicious gummy bears, but little do they know, they're getting essential nutrients for their health and development.
Mom, we know they're vitamins.
As I was saying, kids absolutely love, and apparently know, these are vitamins. Little Critters is the pediatrician-recommended kids' multivitamin gummy brand, and the yummy way to start the school year.
The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia.
They're going to be a desperate team coming in on Monday night with something to prove. So it's a little scary for me. 5.5 seems like a lot. I think this game goes 24-20. An 0-2 team facing a 2-0 team. Underdogs have been trendy. I think this is going to be a closer game than what we think because that's kind of the history of what this Bills team has been like the last few years.
Quite honestly, I could see this going either way. I could see this completely coming off the track and the Buffalo Bills running crazy all over the Jaguars. On the other side of the coin, this is also a team that, again, has talent on paper. Is this the week that they finally put it together?
Mike Danger.
You got to feel a little bit better about the Bills' chances of not just winning, but winning and covering on Monday night, knowing that Jacksonville right now doesn't seem like there's a lot of buy-in and there's some dysfunction going on there.
Gene Battaglia.
When was the last time they actually struggled against Jacksonville up in Buffalo? The Bills have won the last three up here, so right now I think it's looking good for the Bills to go 3-0.
95.7 FM and AM 950. The Fan, Rochester.
Oh, that sounds like a tease as we give our predictions. Let's give our predictions during happy hour. What do you say?
I think so. I mean, like you heard the way I'm kind of leaning here, but that's what I love about, you know, doing this show. It's kind of a journey because we get different opinions, we get different takes, and you know, sometimes we're off, but I think more often than not, we kind of figure what we should be feeling here heading into a particular game.
Absolutely. We won't have a show on Monday because we'll be immersed in pregame, early kickoff, 7:30. That's Monday night. You'll be able to hear the Bills hosting the Jags from Orchard Park here on the Fan Rochester. Again, pregame coverage getting underway right at 3 o'clock Monday afternoon. We'll be joined later this hour by Thor Nystrom, Fantasy Life, and we'll get his takes on not just tomorrow's action in college football. There, of course, it all gets underway tonight at the Dome with Syracuse hosting Stanford. We'll get Thor's take on the Orange and the rest of this weekend's action, including his Minnesota Vikings in their 2-0 start. What's behind Sam Darnold's resurgence? We'll get into it with Thor.
Yeah, or is it just he'll become Sam Darnold again? I don't know. We'll go up to Minnesota here at the bottom of the hour. I love coming in when Dandelorian's on a good mood on Friday. And think of him. He's a Viking fan, Danger. He's a Met fan. And he hit the hat trick today. He's an Ottawa Senator fan. And like, well, the season hasn't begun.
He's just all over the place with his fandom. It's so bizarre to me.
Well, we all know people like that. That just, you pick the random teams. Now, the thing I can say is, he sticks with his team.
Yeah, and I'm sure, like most, I'm not saying that that's a bad thing. It's bizarre to me, but everybody that I know that has fandom that's all over the board, they have a reason why they're a fan of that team, and it's a good reason, so you can't really turn your nose up at it.
Well, no, like, and conversely, I have a friend from Fordham, really close friend. His name's Brian Nolan, and every year, like, growing up, we were like, oh, yeah, I'm a big Cowboy fan. I'm a big Niner fan. Like, his allegiances would change to the point where we just kind of joke whoever the hot team is.
Is that the one that's nicknamed Worm? Because that seems like worm-like behavior.
No, that's not Worm. Worm is down in D.C. Okay. But, like, we all know that person, too, that kind of changes their behavior. I'm bringing up Dandelorian and the Ottawa Senators for a reason. We got this news up north that they're going to get a new arena.
Oh.
Good for them. The issue in Ottawa is that Well, the arena is so far out up there. It's actually in the suburbs. It would be like if we built an arena here in Avon. And it's, I mean, relatively speaking, Buffalo is, of course, only an hour and a half away, but Ottawa's only like four. Pittsburgh's only four. It's not that far if you ever wanted to take a trip up there. Two questions I have coming out of this and how it kind of relates to us in a way. One, what is the Sabres clock here, or the clock for us here in West New York in regards to that arena? It's nice to get a new scoreboard and a new roof, but I'm just wondering how long the shelf life is for Key Bank. Once the Bills Stadium goes up, are we going to be having a brace for that paycheck coming our way? And then two, funny how Canada Danger takes a hard line on some things, but not hockey.
That's right.
No, we're not going to subsidize an NFL stadium in Toronto. Well, thank goodness they didn't do that, because who knows if the Bills would have gone up there. No, we are not going to subsidize a baseball stadium in Montreal. We have other issues. Beat it, Expos.
Yeah.
Yes, we'll build hockey arenas in Calgary and Ottawa. Yes, yes. What do you really need? Canadians are nice people, but they also are hypocritical.
I think they're very... Wow. Our friends north of the border, you just call them all hypocrites. They're just so damn friendly.
Everybody's hypocritical.
To a point, to a degree, I suppose. But, hockey is their thing. That's theirs. And they, even though the NHL, their footprint in the NHL isn't nearly what it is south of the border here in the States, their pride in this sport being their thing, I think they do make concessions for hockey. That's their thing. Like, the NFL is... our thing. Like, you can't, you know, they're trying to make the NFL a global product, but it will always be our thing. American football is American football.
Right. And they don't want to lose any more teams. That's the way I kind of look at it. Like, oh, you can't make enough money here in Winnipeg first time around. We'll take that team. We'll take the team in Quebec City. And I don't know if you'll ever see another team up north when we talk about Canadian expansion.
Yeah, I mean, even when you think about the Jets coming back to Winnipeg, they're doing it in the smallest arena in the NHL. Like, it was a hard thing for them to get that done. And to get it done, they still built a new arena, even though it is not... You know, it's a small arena in Winnipeg, but as far as I can tell, it's always sold out, and I think that's probably what you're shooting for here in Ottawa. Like, can we get an arena that people will go to? Can we get an atmosphere that you know, is conducive to winning? Because the Sens have been, you know, even with talent on that roster, they've struggled.
I could see it working, too. I mean, downtown Ottawa is really nice in the winter. It's walkable. It's everything that I wish, you know, we had more of.
I was just laughing during the break, had a little chuckle. The guy who caught the 50th home run from Shohei in yesterday's game was offered like an autograph and a photo of Shohei to return the ball to the Dodgers, and he basically told him to stick it.
Yeah.
Which is like, yeah, that's
it.
That's what you want to do. I think, I mean, what are you getting for that ball? If you're the Dodgers, what's it worth to you to get that ball back? $1.5 million?
Well, you're dealing with a whole audience overseas. Do they collect over in Japan? And to what degree?
Oh, you know that. If you have wealth, you're probably you probably collect something. If you have any degree of wealth. And your collection is based on how much wealth you
I'm
have.
I'm thinking that in Japan, somebody would be scratching some sort of check that would take care of that. And good for that fan. Anybody says, oh, you should give it back. You should. No, you shouldn't.
You got to understand. And it really was eye-opening to me. I always knew that there is an economy in collectibles. I didn't realize that there was not just economy in collectibles, but there's an economy attached to every player in every league, and that the people will pay top dollar for some of these collectibles for one reason or the other. And it might just be because they view it as an investment. And if you get the 50th home run ball by Shohei Ohtani, that's worth maybe $1.5 million now. What's it worth in 25 years? It's something you can pass off to your family, and it gives you this immense wealth just from being in the right place at the right time and holding onto it instead of handing it over for a friggin' autograph.
Yeah, it's the people you meet on vacation, Danger. Met this gentleman, and he served as basically the CFO for Playland down in Westchester. And we see him every year, and he has two Mickey Mantle rookie cards. Oh. to the point where they're in a lockbox. They're insecure. Like, nobody could get into his home. But basically, when he passes, that's it's part of his estate.
That's right.
Two freaking pieces of cardboard.
Mm-hmm.
Just that other people would value and to try, you know, some it, like in the planning of, you can't even enjoy that. They're so valuable. You have to go lock it up here in a bank somewhere.
Yeah, I see things cross my feed like, it, you know, Ashton Kutcher, notably big Bears fan, talking about how he has a hallway dedicated to just game-worn jerseys from, you know, Chicago Bears gone by, that he's got a Sayers and he's got a Peyton and he's got an Urlacher. And all I'm thinking to myself is, man, that's a wealth that we should all aspire to get to, like, yeah, where you can actually say, you know what, I have the cash, let me go ahead and pay for that piece of memorabilia that really I have an attachment to for one reason or another.
Yeah, and there's people that like to collect just because, well, they think it's fun. And one of those guys, and this was the quarterback show on Netflix from last year, The Secret Room, it was like a speakeasy. Remember
Cousins, yeah.
Cousins, yeah. Like, hey, let me let you in. And it's all this memorabilia about him. Like, here's my high school helmet. Here's this. Here's that. Here's autographs. Here's this picture. Here's everything. I mean, like, if Kirk Cousins is doing that, what is the Von Miller room like that? If he's, like, wearing his own signature.
I just love that the guy is feeling himself to the point where he's wearing his own autographed sideline cap. All the beat reporters were kind of surprised by that. I don't think they knew that that was actually a thing or that was something that happened.
I think Perino just kind of sidestepped that because he's smart enough to know that he's got to ask Von Miller. Doesn't want to come off, you know, credit, you know, if he's got to go get info from Von Miller. Like, he was like, oh, well, maybe, you know, these guys are handed hats all the time. He didn't know. That's plausible, I guess. Like, he signed it for some kids and then all of a sudden got it back to him or somehow.
I think it's a move. I think it's an absolute power move. After the game, showing up shirtless to take his press conference wearing sunglasses, dude is feeling himself. And I'm totally fine with it. You keep performing at that level, you wear whatever autographed merchandise you want to wear on the sideline, Vaughn. Go on.
Story we can get to this week. It's been a lot going on, but one on a Friday that I believe will make you chuckle. The negotiations between Liv and PJ. Do you remember this over the summer, Danger? We were talking to Brian Cole. Hey, we're going to have this news. We're going to have... And then earlier this month, hey, we're going to have... These negotiations are going in a snail's pace. I guess they made some progress. These were the latest meetings on September the 11th and 12th. And there is one thing that PJ players, those that stuck with their own tour, are asking for the Liv guys to do. To give back some money. They're asking specifically John Rahm to give back some of his signing bonus for signing up with Liv. Rahm, dude, received $350 million.
Is that his signing bonus? Because he signed for more than half a billion.
Right.
That was all said and done.
Correct. $350 million up front. So, why? Why would anybody say, oh, you know what, for the betterment of the sport,
no,
here you go.
No.
No.
Absolutely not.
No way.
That's how bold of the PGA to even ask that. How arrogant to even ask that.
That's... It's a stupid strategy.
It's insulting.
It is a stupid strategy by Jay Monahan. Like, that's how you're going to bridge the gap? That's how you're going to bridge the gap. Oh, okay.
It's insulting.
I don't think anything will ever get done, Danger. I think just going to be this peaceful coexistence, if you will. Hey, you're over there. We're doing here. And sure, and I, when it comes to the point system, whatever. But as long as those guys get to play in the majors, it's kind of a Francesa, right?
It's fun. It's funny to me that you just don't know where they are, right? I don't know where you would watch Liv Golf. I don't seek it out. If you were to find it or stumble across it, even then, are you stopping? I was talking to a friend yesterday who's a big NASCAR guy, and he's like, I love NASCAR. NASCAR is my thing. And I'm like, talk to me, because I'm so curious about, you know, what makes it a thing. What makes it, because I remember NASCAR in its heyday having big personalities and having people showing an interest in it when it was Jeff Gordon and all those guys, you know, and Earnhardt and Junior and all. And it just feels like now I don't even know. I mean, I know that NASCAR's tonight on the CW because we're not doing a Friday night game, right? But, like, where do you find it? Where did it go? What happened? And I worry that with LIV Golf, it's going to be the same thing. Like,
oh, it is the same thing.
It's already there.
It's not. If you're not putting it in somebody's path, and part of this, too, Danger, and this is a little too inside here, but there is an act in Congress that you cannot buy airtime if you are a foreign government. Okay, well, that makes sense, right? FCC, the F stands for federal, right? Where's this money coming from for LIV? No one, and I mean no one, was giving that tour a legitimate TV contract. The only way that they ended up was that they had to pay, buy their way onto some of these networks, including the CW. I believe they're still on there, but a lot of them actually are like, with this act, we don't want to get called into Congress. That's one of the reasons why you don't see LIV on there, because you not only are not going to pay for it, but even if they wanted to say, hey, NBC, here you go.
I'm thinking about this strategy by Monahan and by the PGA to ask the LIV golfers to give back some of their signing bonus to the PGA. Is this so that they can remain a quote-unquote non-for-profit, like they can accept this donation of goodwill from the players to keep their status there? Otherwise, they're going to start getting, you know, the feds sniffing around wondering, like, how are you guys a non-for-profit?
Interesting. Apparently, that's also part of this, too, that the PGA is going to morph over to a for-profit.
They should.
Yes.
What are you doing here? I mean, like, the idea that they were always considered that, to me, is mind-blowing. Huh? What? How? How? And, you know, for what the NFL was also exempt for a long time as well, weren't they? Like, up until, when was the NFL? Was it antitrust?
Antitrust.
Yeah. So I'm getting my things confused here. But I just wonder if these, you know, whether you're talking about Monahan or, you know, if they're trying to stay one step ahead of the feds. Nobody wants the feds knocking on their door and asking questions. So, hey, John Rahm, in order for us to continue to be what we are, maybe you give us a little donation and we can skirt for another few years here as what we've always been. But I think it's ridiculous. I don't think there's any chance that any of these golfers on LIV should give up anything that they've already signed for or received for switching to the LIV Tour. That's insane to me. That's ridiculous.
No, that's why, like, nice try. You can ask, and the answer will be no. So
yeah.
I'm sure we'll get to this point next year. Like, oh, and is that, are they ever going to merge? And we talk about, like, worst commissioners in sports. All right, we make fun of Batman, but he's kind of a putz, right? We make fun of Manfred, because I truly believe he doesn't even like baseball. But those guys are way better than this guy running this PGA Tour. Like, they have the lack of foresight, what was coming, how you can't get consensus, everything that kind of goes on to it. And he's still there? How is he still there? I thought they would have been good. Like, hey, you're out. Like, how is Jay Monahan still the commissioner of the PGA Tour?
Yeah, it's kind of embarrassing. But I think you're right. I think that the two can continue to kind of coexist. The LIV will never really gain any ground or get any eyeballs on it. But when you see these guys perform in the majors, if they are still performing at a high level, then it doesn't mean if Brooks Koepka shows up at a major, then it's like, all right, Brooks Koepka's name we all know. We don't watch him through the course of the season because he plays LIV, but I'll pull for John Rahm. I'll pull for Brooks Koepka. I'll pull for, you know, DeChambeau had a nice season this year. All these guys.
And just a sidebar, like Rochester, 2033, haven't heard anything. They still haven't awarded that major. The PGA, no idea what Oak Hill's plan is, if they want to, like, go for that again or hold out for a U.S. Open maybe a little bit later on. So I thought we would have had news about them awarding those next PGA championships, but so far, nothing.
We're going to check in with Thor Nystrom at Fantasy Life. We'll talk not just Saturday's action, tomorrow's action in college football. We'll also get a little preview of tonight's game as Syracuse kicks off the action with Stanford coming to the Dome. Also, a little bit of NFL talk, and specifically the Vikings, since Thor is based there in Minneapolis. We'll talk about that 2-0 start for Sam Darnold and Kevin O'Connell and company. Thor Nystrom of Fantasy Life joining us next on The Fan Rochester.
You're listening to The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. 95.7 FM and AM 950. The Fan Rochester.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
All right, parents, it's back to school time, and I've got a secret for you. There's a drama-free way to make vitamins part of your kids' morning routine. Little Critters Gummy Vitamins. You see, my kids think they're just eating fun, delicious gummy bears, but little do they know, they're getting essential nutrients for their health and development.
Mom, we know they're vitamins.
As I was saying, kids absolutely love, and apparently know, these are vitamins. Little Critters is the pediatrician-recommended kids' multivitamin gummy brand, and the yummy way to start the school year.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more, Rex.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the remarkable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Fan Rochester Sports Update.
Just a walkthrough today for the Buffalo Bills. The extra day here as it'll be the Jacksonville Jaguars coming up on Monday night at Oliver's Primes.
Yeah, I'm ready. Ain't nothing like a primetime game, Thursday night or Monday night game at home. So it's going to be loud. It's going to be, you know, under the lights. So I kind of got used to playing under the lights last year, playing later games, a different time game. So I like playing underneath the lights.
The college football weekend begins tonight. Syracuse looking to go 3-0, the Orange at home against Stanford. We'll talk about this matchup and everything college football coming up next. Thorin Nystrom from Fantasy Life joining us here in the Sports Bar. Tomorrow on The Fan, St. John Fisher football hosting Keystone. Our coverage will begin at 11:30 a.m. Final weekend of the season for the Rochester Red Wings. Tonight they host Iowa, also tomorrow and Sunday. Team Battaglia, the sports leader, The Fan Rochester.
Meet or on the rocks. It's the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on the Sports Leader, 95.7 FM and AM 950 The Fan, Rochester.
Always time well spent with Thorin Nystrom, part of Matthew Berry's team at Fantasy Life. Now joining us to talk some college football. And well, since he's based in Minnesota, we'll talk a little bit about the Vikings 2-0 start as well. Buddy, hope you're doing well. The college football weekend action gets underway tonight at the J-Man Wireless Dome in Syracuse, with Stanford coming in. Syracuse undefeated on the young season. And you know, I'm curious to get your thoughts on what you've seen out of the Orange up to this point and what you're expecting tonight at the J-Man Wireless Dome. How are you, bud?
Hey, I'm doing well, boys. Thanks for having me. Yeah, the Syracuse team has impressed me so far. You know, the upgrade in the passing game, you go from Garrett Schrader, and then when Garrett Schrader was injured late in the season, Del Rio Wilson's injured late in the season. As you guys know, there was no quarterbacking at all. And you go from that to now Kyle McCord and the passing weapons that they have. Obviously, Gadsden's back too. He missed almost all last season. A guy that the NFL is really interested in is that big slot skilled receiver. So the jump up in the passing game, that now complements LaQuint Allen well. The defense is the bigger question there now with Syracuse, but the offense, they can score with people. So this is a really interesting matchup against Stanford. For Syracuse, I think it's an advantageous one. You have a Stanford team coming across the country to play this one at night, primetime game, and the Kyle McCord passing offense with Syracuse goes directly into Stanford's biggest weakness, their pass defense. You can shred Stanford through the air, and that's what I expect to happen tonight.
Yeah, this sets up nicely. If they do that, the Orange get Holy Cross next week. And I guess my question here, Thor, is about the ACCs, because if we're allowed to daydream here where this may go for the Orange, and we've seen what's happened to Florida State here. Clemson is ranked here, but what would you make of the ACC here in 2024?
Yeah, to me, you have those two teams that are in the grouping of their own, Miami and Clemson. Miami should be the prohibitive favorite to win right now. But then after that, you have a bit of a quagmire. I mean, you mentioned there's teams that we know are way, way down. Florida State way, way down from what we thought coming in. SMU, I think, is even down from what we thought coming in. Virginia Tech got upset in the opener against Vanderbilt. They're down from what we expected. North Carolina's way down. So to your point, there's a big, the second area there. We don't really know how that's going to shake out. I'm looking at my projected win total for Syracuse, the updated one in my system. You can get these projections at Fantasy Life. Syracuse, 7.6 wins right now projected in my system for the season.
Thor, we also got a matchup of two top 25 teams in the Big Ten with Nebraska hosting Illinois. What are your thoughts on this matchup?
Yeah, Illinois is a pesky team. You know, I watched every snap they took against Kansas. As you guys know, I went to Kansas. It was a brutal game to watch because Illinois, they just play smart football. They're not super-duper talented, but they just – it reminds me of Teddy KGB from Rounders when he says he just hangs around. Kids got alligator blood, and that's more or less what Illinois is, and they take advantage of other teams' mistakes. Here's the on-field handicap of this one. Illinois' pass defense has been really, really good this season again. You know, I mean, you guys remember a couple years ago when all four Illinois starters in their secondary were drafted in the NFL draft, including Witherspoon there at the top by the Seahawks. But their secondary is still really good. The pass defense has been a strength the entire time. Bielema has been there. It is again. Can that pass defense, can you address Dylan Raiola? If you can hold Raiola in through the air in check, that's Illinois' path to hanging around in this game. Turn it into a coin flip at the end. That's obviously what they want.
Thor Nystrom, our guest, Fantasy Life, as we're taking a look at the college football action tomorrow. So tonight we've got these two new ACC teams. Not Syracuse, not new, but they're facing a new opponent. And tomorrow we get a newcomer coming to a big-time program in the Big Ten. Number 18, Michigan, hosting number 11, USC. It's actually the Trojans, a 4.5 road favorite, what I'm looking at. Thor, how do you view this matchup?
I'm happy that I got the 6.5 on Sunday. It dropped actually at 7, USC minus 7. I was able to get it at 6.5, and that line has just kept coming down. I agree with the market movement there, obviously. My system actually has Michigan as the favorite in this game by 1 point. I do think that there's some line value there, and I think that's because of perception, right? Everyone is watching when USC beat LSU in Vegas in the opener because that was the Monday night game. But we know now that LSU is a bit down. So it takes a little shine off it. I mean, not all of it. USC did win that game, but LSU obviously is not the team that they were last year. And then by contrast, Michigan, a whole heck of a lot of people were watching when they got blown off their home field by Texas. And so the residual things from both those events is what leads to a line like this. But USC is going to have to do through the air what Texas was able to do through Michigan, I think, to win this game. USC is not running on Michigan. So Woody Marks is going to get wiped out of this game, and USC is going to have to play one-handed. If they can have the success through the air, that's how they put the points on the board. The other point I wanted to make about this is Michigan's passing offense has been a travesty so far. They shockingly installed this kid named Davis Warren, who's this walk-on that there'd been no hype around as the starter coming out of camp. He had a 2-6 TD INT ratio through the first three games. They're, Michigan is now benching him for Alex Orji, the guy that we saw in sub packages last season. They bring him in, he'd run around. Orji's a raw passer, but he can't be worse than Davis Warren has been to this point through the air. Orji's has a 2-0 TDI and T ratio, just, you know, in limited action this year. But they'll be risk averse with him, but he is going to add to their running game. They have a good running game. So and USC has not proven defensively that they've taken an enormous step forward. I think Michigan is going to be able to move the ball a little bit on them as well. So to me, that's more of a coin flip.
Thor, we've got an interesting Big 12 matchup with Oklahoma State hosting Utah, two teams that are in the top 15. Right now I've got Utah minus 1 point against Oklahoma State. What direction are you leaning in this game?
I'm leaning towards the home team in Oklahoma State. I've liked the way that they have played so far this year. They had some of the most returning experience in the nation. Ollie Gordon, obviously, he's the star there. He's going to be the enormous key in this game because Utah's defense, the way you get them is on the ground. Utah has a really good pass rush, and they have a really good pass defense in general. So if you need to throw to beat Utah, you've already lost the game. You can get them on the ground, though. And then one other thing about the, you know, their passing defense against this Oklahoma State passing offense. Oklahoma State last year, they were in the top 10 as far as least sacks allowed per game. This year, they have allowed zero sacks to this point. And the reason why is they have the quick hitting passing game. Bowman, their quarterback, he's not mobile at all, but he gets the ball out quickly. He's sixth, seventh year kid at this point. And so because of that, there's never any pressure on him. They rarely get sacked. That system itself, the way that they play, is going to neutralize Utah's pass rush when they do have to throw. But obviously, Ollie Gordon's going to be the way that this game is led. And then, of course, on the other side, Cam Rising is coming off the hand injury, a guy who has had durability questions his entire career. He's going to have to acclimate back in. You're now in a road game and a key one early in the season. This game could heavily inform the Big 12 going forward, speaking of wide-open conferences. So I'm going to side with Oklahoma State in this one.
Yeah, you've got another matchup, Tennessee-Oklahoma. Now, the primetime matchups here, Thor, maybe you get Colorado-Baylor we can watch on Saturday night here, Minnesota against Iowa. That's a 35.5. Betting Iowa is always a good thing here. In terms of the matchup Saturday nights, which one are you keeping a close eye on here?
I'll be keeping the closest eye on Iowa, Minnesota, because I will be in the building for that. In the pregame, I'll be wearing my Iowa stuff down there. It's the one day of the year that my fellow Minnesotans turn on me, but I went to grad school at Iowa, so they'll have to forgive me for it. But yeah, we'll be down there tailgating beforehand, and then going into the game, I'll put on a sweatshirt or something that doesn't show that I'm an Iowa fan before getting up in that press box. But obviously for me, that's the most interesting one. And it's a game where there is revenge on the line. Last year, Iowa thought it had beaten Minnesota when Cooper DeJean ran the punt return back for a touchdown with 2 minutes left to go. They reviewed it to see if he had stepped out of bounds. He didn't. But as they were doing that, they said that when he was waving off his teammates after the punt had hit the ground, you know, get back, they said that that was an invalid fair catch signal. They overturned the call. Kirk Ferentz said that it was the worst call of his entire career after the game. Iowa has not forgotten that, and now is their shot to go to Minnesota's home and get revenge. So that line was 2.5 earlier in the week. I definitely like Iowa in that one.
You know, there's another one that is compelling to me only because I think some of us are surprised at just how rough a start this season has been for Florida State. And now you've got Cal coming in, getting 2.5 points. Is Florida State going to be winless after this weekend still, Thor?
I think so. Yeah, I like Cal to go in there and win that game. Cal has already gone across the country one time this season against a far superior opponent and beat them. That was Auburn. And in that game, Jaden Ott, their running back, did absolutely nothing. So, and they were still able to do it. In this game, Ott, from what I'm hearing, appears to be back for it and full strength because he got to sit out last week, even though he had been listed as probable because they were playing San Diego State. It didn't matter. Cal is their way up this year, and when Ott hasn't even gotten going yet. When Ott gets going, I think that's a dangerous team. We talked about Syracuse before as a team that could elevate real quickly to the top of that second tier of the ACC, where then you're the third best team in the ACC. Cal is another team that you have to toss into sort of that sleeper bucket, They've already shown that they can do it. Florida State is just dying to be put out to pasture. I don't know what they're doing. It wasn't just, you know, giving the entire offense to DJU through the offseason. They're funneling it through him during the season. We've seen DJU now for years. We know what he can do. We know what he can't do. The thing he can't do is sit back in the pocket and you allow him to survey, go across his options. He doesn't make good decisions. He doesn't have any pocket presence. So, like, the manifestation of his arm strength, they never come to the fore, and that's before you even get to the accuracy issues. I don't know what Florida State's doing. I could definitely see DJU being benched in this game. And Cal, all right.
Last college one, I want to ask you about, and then we'll get to your thoughts here on the Vikings. But since this will be in prime time too, Colorado, what I'm looking at right now here, Thor, is Buffaloes are favored by 2 against Baylor. I'm fearful this is going to not go well here for Colorado and Coach Prime, and I'm wondering who he's going to blame the media or something. How do you view this game?
Yeah, I sort of have a tendency to think the same. And the reason why is Baylor's offense is still not good. They have not fixed that. However, their defense is playing pretty well. And that's gone a bit under the radar. They've held 2 opponents to a field goal. The other game was a rock fight against Utah. But in the advanced analytics, Baylor right now, their pass defense, number 1 success rate, number 21 in yards per dropback allowed, number 6 in EPA per dropback. Colorado, all they can do is pass. If you can hinder their passing attack at all, they are neutered. There's literally nothing else for them to turn to, and their Colorado's best running back, Dallin Hayden, I don't think he's going to play in this game either. So it's literally just pass, and Baylor has a defense, and specifically a pass defense, that has shown that it can shut down the opposing passing attack. Now, you have to say, Baylor has not been tested by a team that could throw as well as Colorado so far. I mean, Tarleton State, there was the Utah game, and then Air Force, who doesn't throw at all. So, I mean, some of those stats could be skewed. This is a big test for Baylor, but if that secondary can show like they have so far and hold Colorado down, they're going to win that game and probably easily.
Thor, take us through the roller coaster of emotions you've felt so far this NFL season as a Vikings guy, because, you know, when JJ went down in the preseason, I know he's having a good preseason, and you and many were talking about how well he looked like he was acclimating to the pro game and Kevin O'Connell's offense. When he went down, I kind of just viewed it as, you know, Sam Darnold has never been in a situation like this where he has really good skill position players around him and an offensive line that can block, and most importantly, a head coach who could scheme guys open for him. This is Sam Darnold's best opportunity as a pro should he rise to the occasion, and through 2 weeks, it looks like he has.
Yeah, that's definitely right. And, you know, Tom Brady was talking recently about how he had gotten 5 years at Michigan, you know, going from QB7, then up to QB3, and then eventually the starter. And then how when he went to the Patriots, he got to sit for a year. And he was basically saying it's a mistake to start any rookie quarterback. And so, you know, obviously what happened to JJ was unfortunate with the torn meniscus. But to your point, up until that point, I mean, JJ ripped up the Raiders in the first preseason game. And when O'Connell talked about him afterwards, you know, we found our franchise quarterback, and then the rest of the comments were indicating that at that point, that competition was very close between JJ and Sam. And then you see what Sam's doing here in the first couple games. That obviously shines well on JJ McCarthy. But to Sam Darnold, you mentioned it. I mean, like the opportunity at the beginning, or lack thereof, going to the Jets, he was a redshirt sophomore when he came out. There has not been a ton of redshirt sophomores that have come out and then gone in the first round of the NFL draft. And the lack of experience then, and then all of a sudden you're tossed in with the Jets, where the coaching staff was poor, they had no supporting talent around him, and he was expected to be the savior immediately. That thing was never going to work out. And then in Carolina, wasn't a good situation either. The Minnesota situation is tremendous. You have an awesome offensive line in front of you. You have the best receiver in football outside. And TJ Hawkins, we haven't even talked about him because he's injured right now. So he's going to get added to the party going forward. Jordan Addison has not been 100%. And yet Sam Darnold has looked the way that he has. Minnesota is also able to run the ball now. So that helps out that Kevin O'Connell is a tremendous play caller. But Sam Darnold, the thing that he has gotten way better at, it's the pocket presence and then the timing of the throws. And he's talked about the timing thing with the media about how earlier in his career he had the same arm talent. You know, he had the same physical package, but the timing just wasn't there. And so, you would lose that. And then the pocket presence and sensing the rushers, et cetera, just being off schedule. And that's the thing that he's really improved upon here, and Kevin O'Connell's helped him with. And yeah, the Vikings are rolling now in a very interesting game this weekend against the Texans.
Yeah, Texans and a receiver that you're familiar with, we're familiar with here, returning for the first time in Stephon Diggs. And certainly the Minneapolis miracle is something that you'll always look back and fondly, but then part of the Diggs story in Minnesota was, well, he forced his way out of there. So what kind of reception do you think he gets this week, Thor, and how do you view this matchup?
If my fellow Minnesota Vikings fans have any self-respect, they will stand up and give him a standing ovation in the pregame. Stephon Diggs turned the 155th overall slot in the, whatever draft he was picked in, into four seasons at a peanut salary of Pro Bowl caliber wide receiver play for the Vikings. And then he played the 1 year on the extension. And if Minnesota fans want to be upset that he forced a trade to facilitate the acquisition of Justin Jefferson, right, the best receiver in football, I don't know that there has been an ROI positive pick like Stephon Diggs in the history of the Minnesota Vikings organization. Having sour grapes is absolutely ridiculous. The fans should look at Justin Jefferson and realize that Stephon Diggs, that was a gift from Stephon Diggs.
Yeah, and the Bills are going to get a second-round pick out of that next year, too, for Diggs, with that move. Thor, what are your thoughts you're observing here on what has happened with Bryce Young and Carolina? How much are the management coaches to blame? How much is Young himself to blame? Was he not a guy that was worthy of the number one overall pick, and can he get himself out of this jam?
You know, this goes to the organization. When you think about Bryce Young, like what he liked to do at Alabama, it's sort of like Kyler Murray. He's undersized, he's a solid athlete, but he doesn't like to leave the pocket and run. He likes to use that athleticism to evade people, buy time, and then find the receiver downfield. And an offense was never built around him that would work to his skill set in Carolina. But the other thing is, you can't have a game like that behind a bad offensive line. A great example from college in recent years that is not him. Remember Spencer Rattler?
Yeah.
Spencer Rattler, when he was at Oklahoma early in his career and he had the good offensive line in front of him, his redshirt freshman year after that season, everyone in the two early mock drafts had Spencer Rattler number one overall. Obviously, Caleb Williams came in the next season. Well, then Spencer Rattler transfers to South Carolina for his last 2 years. South Carolina had one of the worst offensive lines in all the FBS, not just the Power Five, during those 2 years there. And so Spencer Rattler was constantly under duress. Well, he's the same sort of a player. He's an undersized guy that likes to maneuver around in the pocket, extend plays, and then hit receivers on, when they break off their route. That wasn't going to work behind one of the most porous offensive lines in the nation. It's the same thing with Bryce Young, but of course you have a compounding thing there of the lack of play calling to facilitate to his strengths, and then the lack of weapons around him. So it's a nightmare all around. The only thing that you can argue at this point with this decision is maybe you're salvaging his confidence by doing this, trying to get him back on track, but he might be broken beyond repair at this point.
Thor, I don't think it's ever too early to start talking about who we're going to be talking about next April in the NFL draft, and I know you're already kind of thinking that way as well. I'm curious about who might be atop that quarterback prospect list when we're talking about the 2025 draft for teams like Carolina that might be looking to go in a different direction. I think, by the way, if you're a quarterback getting drafted by Carolina, you should not go to Carolina. You should not sign with the Panthers. But an interesting thing happening in Texas with Ewers being injured and Arch Manning getting some time now. I don't think that Quinn Ewers is in danger of losing his job due to injury, but I'm wondering what that does for his stock come April. I mean, I watched a little bit of Carson Beck earlier this year. I know that Georgia was in a tight one against Kentucky last week, but Carson Beck looks like a pro quarterback already to my eyes. What are your thoughts on some of these prospects here as we start to look ahead as to who might be selected early in the 2025 draft?
Yeah, the Quinn Ewers injury is unfortunate because the Quinn Ewers that we saw against Texas, that's what a top 10 quarterback looks like. That's what a top 5 overall quarterback looks like. And the ascension was obviously there. He's improved his game quite a bit, or appeared to in the early going over last year. where it was more of the arm talent and then the schemed up concepts for him, but we weren't seeing as much of the high-end NFL caliber decision-making. That's what we saw in the early going, and in particular the Michigan one, obviously a high-leverage situation. Now he's injured, and Arch Manning comes in. I thought your comment was funny because I had seen someone on Twitter, a Carolina Panther fan, and said, you know, all good, now we can just wait around tank next year for Arch Manning. And someone had quote-tweeted that and said the Manning family forced their way out of San Diego. That's right. You think they're gonna let him go to Carolina? No way. But, I mean, seeing Arch Manning, that's going to be real, really cool. But we'll see how Quinn Ewers comes back later this season and how he's able to play. Texas, obviously, in line for a playoff run here. So how does Quinn Ewers play against those top-end teams? He could salvage his stock pretty easy, Ewers, as long as that injury doesn't linger, doesn't affect him. If he's playing like he did against Michigan in those playoff games, the SEC championship, et cetera, he's going to be just fine, and he'll be up there. And it's going to be a discussion between him and Carson Beck. Because Carson Beck seems like the safe one at this point. Shedeur Sanders, obviously, it's like the stock of the meme coins or whatever. It's just like up, down, up, down, up, down, you know, depending on the week. He's obviously fallen a little bit. Maybe he would be, you know, more of a late first round, early day two guy at this point. But he certainly has a shot to pull out of this and play better down the stretch. But I don't know if he's going to have, if the offensive line is going to pick up its play enough at Colorado for it to matter for Shedeur, but we'll see.
All right, we're ready to go for tomorrow and tonight, for that matter, for Syracuse. From Matthew Berry's fantasy life, Thor Nystrom. Tell everybody, and again, tell us what it's like working with Matthew Berry and what kind of content we can go check out at the website here, Thor.
It's super duper cool. Yeah, like, you know, being able to know him, like, you know, I mean, look, because like when I was a kid, it was like I'm watching him on TV and then, you know, listening to the podcast. He'd hate me for saying when I was a kid, but no, it's super cool to work for someone that, like, yeah, is like one of your heroes in the space. And then at Fantasy Life, you can check out, I have all my projections there every week. The thing with the win projections going up and down, projected spreads for every game on the schedule, totals, et cetera. And then my best bets of the week. You can check all that out at Fantasy Life.
Thor, great having you on with us again, man. Let's do it again soon. Enjoy your weekend, all right?
Good talking to you, boys.
You got it. Thanks, Thor Nystrom. That's our guy. Fantasy Life, working with Matthew Berry. Great content, great knowledge. Make you a smarter college football fan. Get you ready for the draft. All of it. He's the best.
Do you realize what we did today? Like, I didn't really. So yesterday was Ithaca Day. Today was Iowa Day.
Oh, you're right.
Barron's Iowa, and yep. You know, Thor did his grad work at Iowa. Yep. Iowa, Minnesota. That'll be the late game of those games on Saturday night. Right, are you watching baseball? Or are you watching? Let's see. You've got Iowa, Minnesota at NBC, Tennessee, Oklahoma on ABC, Coach Prime and Baylor on Fox.
I'm gonna tail our guy PJ and kind of follow along with some of the games that we were talking about earlier this week. And put my money where my mouth is and see what we can get out of some of these matchups. But those are all intriguing. I think Tennessee-Oklahoma is probably the most intriguing to me. I think that's the one I'll probably plop down and you know, check out when I get the chance.
Florida State is home, but they're only favored by 2.5 against
Cal. Taking Cal on the money line. I'm taking Cal straight up. Give me Cal straight up. I think Florida State starts 0-4. They're a tire fire. I'm saying this and it's a kiss of death, so I'm sure that they'll get the win somehow at home over Cal. But yeah, they don't look good. They, you know, if you watched any of them against Georgia Tech in week one or BC in week two, you just see an offense, and Thor mentioned it. Everything's going through DJ Uiagalelei, and it's just not working. It's a disaster. It's an absolute disaster offensively. They can't get any kind of consistency or continuity at all on the offensive side of the ball. Really appreciate Thor giving us some of his time here on a Friday afternoon. We've got happy hour next, and that means since we don't have a show Monday, Bills pregame Monday starting at 3 o'clock as the Bills kick off 7:30 here on the Fan Rochester hosting the Jags, we'll give our predictions and our outlook for Monday night's game.
Yeah, we'll also have time for your calls here too. 866-4FAN, 866-4326.
You're listening to The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan Rochester.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
All right, parents, it's back to school time, and I've got a secret for you. There's a drama-free way to make vitamins part of your kids' morning routine. Little Critters Gummy Vitamins. You see, my kids think they're just eating fun, delicious gummy bears, but little do they know, they're getting essential nutrients for their health and development.
Mom, we know they're vitamins.
As I was saying, kids absolutely love, and apparently know, these are vitamins. Little Critters is the pediatrician-recommended kids' multivitamin gummy brand, and the yummy way to start the school year.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!